from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, is Labour going back on its promise to with troops in Iraq and all that? Speaking of Labour, why is Jacinda not with us this morning? And Winter Olympics, are we interested? But before any of that, a lot of people are interested in what Bob Jones has had to say. Some people not happy.
Now, I say Jones is in some trouble. He isn't, of course, not really, because Jones couldn't care less. Never has. And that's why I also like him, and what we really need more of, more people like him. Not necessarily to be as acerbic, but to be confident enough in their own skin to not be worried or upset or kowtowed by a world in which more and more people get up every day full of vengeance and angst and upset and a full-on desire to make noise and trouble. What Jones was doing in his column was, of course, being satirical. Now, you might not, and by the way, you should look it up and read it for yourself, see what you think. You might not find it funny at all. You might find it offensive. But guess what? That's okay. You're allowed to be offended. And you're allowed to be offended without requiring someone to hang for it. You're allowed to be upset if you want, or ropeable, or infuriated, or exasperated. You might even tut-tut in despair. But it still doesn't mean we need a petition, or a complaint, or a march, or a protest, or a boycott. The poor woman who launched this particular petition to have him stripped of his knighthood didn't look like she would have read the NBR. She would have been alerted to it undoubtedly via social media from the collection of fellow angsties she almost certainly shares time and fury with. Nor indeed did she look old enough to know Bob Jones historically and understand who he is, what he's done, and how this column is no different to, broadly speaking, what he's been doing for 50 years now. And what she clearly doesn't understand is that in launching a petition and being naive enough to think any of it's leading anywhere, she fails to see the arrogance of her own actions or her inability to accept not all people think and act like her. And guess what? That's okay too. This doesn't endorse the Jones column, by the way. It endorses his right to be Bob Jones in the great hope that the Bob Jones of the world trump the bitter and miserables that would have them obliterated from making any contribution for fear, heaven forbid, somebody somewhere might get up.
Now, something that seemed to be upsetting Mike this morning was a little bit of ambiguity around whether or not we're sending troops to Iraq, more troops to Iraq, extending how long they're staying in Iraq. He thinks that perhaps Labour is not keeping its promise, to be honest.
It's a war zone, and there is no controlling that with timelines. So the dates came and went, and we're still there. Of course, you could argue we should be there. It's part of our responsibility as an international citizen to play whatever small part we can to help. Why should America do everything? So, after a cosy dinner between Winston and Julie Bishop over the weekend with a late drop-in of Ardern to warm relations up, Ardern will now travel to Canberra and get the request from Turnbull. And this is where the trouble lies. In opposition, they were against all of this. In government, will it be the same? Of course it won't. Theory has given way to reality. Yet again, we see how easy it is to be on the other side of the house tossing grenades, figuratively, not literally, versus actually running the place, making real, not imaginary decisions. The Greens, of course, might bail because they're in the luxurious position of being in government only on confidence and supply, and they can stand tall, true to their values, and oppose the move. And in doing so, cement their support among their followers. But you've got to ask how many times they can do that before tensions between them and Labour, and especially between them and Winston, start to fray. You can't have the perks and noise of government without actually being part of a few hard calls. But this is Pike River all over again. What they say before the election and what they do after the election are two very different things. But here's the critical question. Are they seen as sellouts, or disingenuous, or plain dishonest by supporters? That's the real question. How many times can you be one thing one day and something different the next without people starting to openly question whether you got any principles at all?
Ooh. So, he's wondering about their principles. Yeah, I think he's also wondering about their time management abilities after the fact that Jacinda Ardern will no longer be appearing on the Mike Hosking Breakfast every Monday morning. We've had to change it.
Pity about JA, says another one, is you're the only one who attempts to get the true facts. Leslie, it's very kind of you to say. And probably partially true, to be fair, given most of the media these days. Now, there is a reason for this. They rang up. Her office rang up and they said the workload's a bit of an issue on a Monday morning and they want to shift things around and they're trying to manage her workload. and they want to be able to speak post the cabinet, which actually that part of it does make sense because there is a cabinet Monday afternoon, and of course often on a Monday you'll go, what about this, what about that, what about the next thing, and she'll go, well, I don't know, we haven't talked about it, we haven't made a decision, which of course is not true. Key used to do it a lot as well. He used to go, well, we haven't made a decision on that, and I thought, that's crap, you have. So, and so what you do is you go to cabinet and you go, guys, this afternoon we're announcing this, this, this and this, anyone disagree with me? And of course no one would, and then he'd announce it in the afternoon. So anyway, that's the theory. So
well, they've got a warped sense of priorities then. They should get that cabinet moved to Sunday.
They probably should, shouldn't they? There's no reason. There's no reason why they can't work on a Sunday.
So then she can come out and set the agenda for the week
fresh
with you.
On a Monday. I tend to agree, but nevertheless, that was what they wanted to do, and so we've agreed with that. So she will be with us. Am I right in saying tomorrow it's 7:40 Monday, Tuesday? So 7:40 Tuesday, same time, different day.
So what we've decided to do is make this show from now on the Tuesday show. We'll be having that on Mondays,
right?
And we'll just have the Monday.
So Monday
we're just swapping Tuesday and Monday around.
So Thursday still okay? Thursday?
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. Because I wouldn't mind moving Friday. Because sometimes on
having Friday a bit earlier?
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you just get that buzz on a Friday that we enjoy. And so if we could move that to, I don't know, maybe Tuesday. No, hang on. Tuesday's already the Monday. I don't know. But anyway, that's when she's on.
Basically, if we can just change things to, as we were discussing last week, so we have more weekend and less actual week as a result of all this, that'd be the ideal scenario. More time for sitting around watching the Winter Olympics, I suppose.
So you two narrow-minded pricks don't like the Winter Olympics. Jeez. It's Monday. Just ease yourself into the week. Usually pretty on point. Now, here's where I now regret saying what I did, because all I want to do is spend the rest of my broadcasting career like Blancmange, just blending into the background and saying nothing to upset anybody. Morning, Mike and Co. Usually pretty on point, but well off the mark this morning, read the Winter Olympics. Mike, what if it was your child coming fourth or fifth? Now, that's a very good point, and I was about to bring that part of it up. So the guy yesterday, Garcia, in the snowboarding.
I mean, if it was my child coming fourth or fifth, I would definitely pretend that I was proud of them.
Did right.
Real hard.
And I was watching the family of him yesterday saying how proud they were of him. And fantastic. Why wouldn't you be? If your kid's out there doing well, doesn't matter their version of well, doesn't matter where it is, whether it's a Saturday morning at sport, whether it's trying a new activity, we're all parents, we've all been proud of our kids. That's not the point of the Olympics. It's not an event where we interview a lot of proud parents, because you would be doing literally nothing else. And my point is this. The reason they hand out medals is very deliberate and very specific. There's three of them, and one's gold and one's silver and one's bronze. There are no medals for fourth through to the end of the field. You either win something or you don't.
Rhys Darby once suggested that was a good idea, though, to have everybody at the medal ceremony. And so the rostrum platform that they stand on, it just gets lower and lower and lower. So the person who comes 12th is about 6 feet below the surface of the earth. Their flag goes down while everybody else goes up. Then somebody stamps on it and sets fire to it.
You are so unfair to speak about the athletes competing in the Winter Olympics. This is the sport they love. No one's arguing with that either. So you can you can follow your dream, and you can execute brilliantly, and you can represent your country and all of that sort of thing. But fundamentally, we are not a community gathering in which we clap and applaud and give out prizes for participation. This is the Olympic Games.
I like that one. I do like that one where they ski for a bit and then they stop and shoot things.
That's the cross country.
Because I thought that was called the James Bond assassin.
Very similar. But what I'm trying to argue is I turned on the television on Saturday and I saw four channels of curling. And that's a lot of curling channels. I mean, let's be honest. How many channels of curling do you need? We don't have four channels of rugby, but we've got four channels of curling. And I went to Sport 1. It was Korea versus Czechoslovakia. Sport 2, it was US versus China, and so it went on.
It'd be good if they had broom view, like a camera on the broom.
It's just, I don't know. And I think your point is the best one, is we don't have heritage in most of these sports.
We can't connect. We can't.
Therefore, we don't join the dots. It's fun to watch people do things. It's interesting to watch a luge go down a track every now and again, but we don't do that here. And therefore, it's of no particular... You may as well just put up four channels of lacrosse or handball, We don't do it. We've got no interest. Of course, when we win a medal, it'll be the greatest thing in the history of the world. But that's the other thing. We haven't won a medal, and it'll be interesting to find out from Ricky whether or not we are actually going to win a medal at all.
I'm always pretty stoked when I get called a narrow-minded prick before 8 a.m. on Monday morning. I feel like I've really hit the ground running when that happens. I am Glenn ZB, a narrow-minded prick. That was the rewrap for Monday. I'll be back with more narrow-minded prickiness tomorrow, I guess. See you then.